in a play about the crucifixion of Jesus, the playwright John Masefield creates a conversation between one of the Roman soldiers who was present on Golgotha when Jesus was crucified, a conversation between that soldier and the wife of Pontius Pilate. The soldier tells Pilate's wife that he does not believe that Jesus has remained dead and buried. She asks him, where then might he be? And the soldier replies, he is let loose in the world where no one can stop him. Hear it again. He is let loose in the world where no one can stop him. My friends, in a sense, that's the crux of the Easter good news. Jesus has been let loose in the world, and he wants to change our hearts. Indeed, he wants to transform our lives. Now, I suspect some of you here this morning would welcome a change in your lives. Maybe your relationship with your spouse or your employer or your children, maybe those relationships are on the rocks. Maybe you're struggling with finances. Maybe you're depressed and you're battling an addiction of some type. Maybe down deep you're lonely or afraid. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been deeply wounded by events in your life. Or maybe you're here and you have been or you still are being sexually or physically or emotionally abused. Whatever your problem is, you're here and you sense that you have been robbed of any real happiness in your life, robbed to the point that now you feel like you're just going through the motions of living. So much so that you're here today and you're here for a reason. You're here searching for someone or for something who will change your life forever, who'll restore your confidence and joy and help you to shed your past burdens and overcome future obstacles. Well, if that's you, let me tell you the Easter good news. Jesus died on a cross. He was buried. And on the third day, he rose from the dead to make just that kind of dramatic change possible in your life and in mine. All we have to do is believe the Easter good news and personally accept Jesus into our hearts as our Savior and Lord. But I know that some folks, maybe even you, find that easier said than done. That was true for Jesus' disciples 2,000 years ago, and it's true for many folks today. But this morning, I'm not here to talk about others. This morning, I'm here to talk to you. And my question for you this morning is, how are you going to respond to the Easter good news? Let me suggest first that some of you are going to doubt. You know, the women told Jesus' disciples that he was alive. Their initial reaction was they thought the whole idea of the resurrection was nonsense. Luke puts it plainly. He says these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe him. Now, perhaps you're in that same boat today. You've never seen anyone risen from the dead. You've studied a little bit of biology, and you've been to a few funerals, and short of absolute proof, you are not able this morning to trust that God is powerful enough to pull that one off. But folks, that just means that you've not yet made the faith connection. Some 20 years ago, we had to rework the whole irrigation system around this beautiful church. The whole thing had to be replaced. It took a long time. But after the irrigation piping and the sprinklers had been put in place, after the new well had been dug and the pump had been completed, the landscape around the church still could not be watered. And you know why? It was because the whole system had to be connected to a source of electricity. It had to be powered up before it could do what it had been created to do. Hear me this morning, folks. God created you with a purpose. He created you to love you and to bless you so that you could love and bless others in His name. But until you personally connect with the source of power which comes from faith in the resurrected Jesus Christ, your life is never going to be fulfilled. After hearing the women's account of what the two angels told them at the tomb, after hearing that Jesus was alive and not dead, the disciples doubted. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, Luke tells us. What that's telling us is Peter went to investigate. He wanted to know what had really happened. Why? Because Peter was curious. He was curious. Friends, the greatest obstacle to faith is not doubt. No. The greatest obstacle to faith is closed-mindedness. Some people think they've got everything figured out when it comes to God. So much so that they dig their heels in and they resist mightily whenever they're asked to consider the possibility that God might be doing something new. And as a result, they live stunted lives, lives trapped in the faith of a two-year-old. Consequently, they never grow, they never change. Maybe you're like that, but Peter wasn't. Peter knew that the necessary precursor for personal change is a new perspective of God. A new perspective of God. Paul was raised to know and love the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He was a devout Jew, educated in and obedient to the law of Moses. In his own words, Paul said he was zealous for God. So when Jews began to turn to Christ after the resurrection, Paul went on a crusade. In the book of Acts, we're told that Paul was after followers of the way. He was wanting to persecute them to death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women. See, what was happening was Paul was so anxious to step out this new way of understanding God that he received warrants from the high priest in Jerusalem, warrants to track down Christians living in faraway Damascus. Now we need to understand that Paul had never met Jesus. He'd never heard him speak. He'd never witnessed any of his miracles. But as Paul knew dear to Damascus, he encountered the risen Christ. And Paul tells him himself, all of a sudden, I fell to the ground. I heard this voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I didn't know what was going on. And so I asked, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you're persecuting. I'm the risen Lord. I'm the one with the power to transform people's lives, and you're trying to kill those transformed lives. I want to transform your life too, Paul. And indeed, it proved to be a transforming moment in the life of Paul. Years later, you would tell the believers in Corinth, he said, I came to talk to you, but I didn't come to give you some big speech. I didn't want to use any big words. My life changed now. It's different. I've only got one thing on my mind, only got one topic to speak to you about today, and that's Jesus. I want to talk to you about Jesus Christ, crucified, dead, buried, and rose again. I want to talk to you about the difference He's made in my life and the difference He can make in your life. Friends, the Easter good news is that Jesus has been let loose in the world. And now the same power that changed Paul's hatred to love, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, that same power is available to you. Be open to it. Once you've taken that step of faith, your life will never look the same again. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. You can respond to that message with doubt. You can respond with curiosity. Or you can believe. You know, Jesus appeared to his disciples numerous times and he interacted with them in various ways during the 40 days between his resurrection and his ascension into heaven. And you know why he did that? He did that so that their doubts would be eliminated, their curiosity would be satisfied, and they would believe. And they did. But the real question today is a personal one. Do you believe? Do you believe Jesus rose from the dead after dying on Calvary's cross? Do you? Do you believe the Easter good news? Well, if you do, then the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the life you live in now will be transformed and radically different than the life that you lived before faith. In fact, your life will be so transformed that you'll be making a transforming difference in the lives of other people. So I'm wondering, is your belief in Jesus visible to other people day in and day out? Has your life been transformed to the point that as you interact with other people, their lives are being transformed as well? I don't want to answer the question for you, but you can answer it for yourself. I'm going to give you three criteria. You can evaluate yourself. First, believers continually want to share the good news. See, believers are like those women who first found the empty tomb. What'd they do? Returning from the tomb, they went back, they told the disciples, they told everybody. They couldn't wait to tell people about the risen Christ. Who have you told about the risen Christ? Who have you told? There were many Roman soldiers present on Calvary when Jesus was crucified. Some believe that Marcellus was among them. Marcellus was a fine Roman soldier who had always wanted to be a centurion. His superiors rewarded his consistently outstanding efforts with steady promotions, and in time, Marcellus was nominated for the rank of centurion. To receive that promotion, he had to go through a ritual that involved bowing before an image of Caesar and then proclaiming, "Caesar is Lord." That's where it got difficult for Marcellus. Because you see, after the resurrection of Jesus, Marcellus had become a Christian. And Marcellus recognized that in going through that ritual, he would have to deny his faith that Jesus is Lord. So Marcellus refused to proclaim Caesar as Lord. His superiors were sympathetic, but they urged him to bow before that image of Caesar. They urged him to claim Caesar as Lord, and they told him, if you don't, you will be executed. Marcellus would not deny his faith. Shortly thereafter, Marcellus was beheaded in front of the whole cohort of legionaries. The ranking officer then made an announcement that if there were any other Christians in the unit, that they should come forward also. And amazingly, they did, knowing full well that they were going to suffer the same fate that Marcellus had. Why did they come forward? Where'd they come from? See, all the time Marcellus had been soldiering after the resurrection, he'd been talking to his fellow legionnaires about Jesus. And in the talking, in the telling, in the watching of the way he was living his life, their lives were transformed and they too became believers. Friends, Jesus is let loose in the world. And not even the discipline of the Roman legion could restrain his power to change hearts and transform lives. Those who believe in the Easter good news have an irresistible desire to share their belief. Do you have that desire? Is it lived out in your life? Those who believe in Jesus also have an optimism that is rooted in their trust in God. An optimism that is rooted in their trust in God. A small Midwestern community had been drought-stricken for what seemed like an eternity. And the farmers and the townspeople were in a quandary as to what to do. Their very survival was at stake. As the problem became more and more urgent, they decided that they would have a prayer service, that they gathered at the local church and asked God for rain. As the people began to arrive at that little country church, the pastor was there. He was greeting people as they came in and circulating among them, and the people were all visiting from pew to pew and across the aisles. They were just enjoying the opportunity to socialize with their neighbors. When the pastor stepped into his pulpit to start the prayer service, he noticed that sitting right in the very front pew was a little 7-year-old girl. She had a beaming, excited look on her face. And on her lap was a bright red umbrella. The pastor smiled. He smiled because he realized the faith and the trust in God that little girl had. It was a faith and trust in God that the adults in the room seemed to have forgotten. See, the adults had come just to pray for rain. But that child had come to see God answer the prayer. Do you believe God answers prayers? Do you trust in His provision? Friends, if you believe the Easter good news, you want to share it with others. You'll be optimistic, trusting the Lord to make a positive impact on your life. And lastly, you will face everything life throws at you. You'll face it with confidence. Confidence. Gloria Lewis died late in the afternoon on Palm Sunday in 2012. I'd visited with her often, and I'd witnessed cancer taking an ever-increasing toll on her frail 87-year-old body. During our quiet times together, Gloria had shared her heart with me in a way that she had with no other except Ed, her beloved husband of 51 years, who had died the previous July. As Gloria gradually transitioned from sofa to wheelchair to bed, her Bible and her devotional books were never far from her side, and neither was Jesus. She said, I talked to Jesus just like I used to talk to Ed. And then she gave me a kind of a devilish grin on one occasion. She said, and I still talk to Ed too. He's in his office, you know. And sure enough, Ed's ashes were sitting on his desk in his office, sitting there because their wish was that their ashes would be interred together. The afternoon before she died, I knelt beside Gloria's bed to say goodbye, and as I knelt there, I gave her the little wooden cross in my pocket. And as I gave her that little cross, I reminded her that Jesus had paid the penalty for her sins on Calvary, and that He'd risen from the dead on that first Easter so that she could have life, even though she was just about to die. The smile on her face underscored the trust that she had in God's Word. When Gloria died the next day, she was still clutching that little wooden cross I'd given her. But more importantly, Gloria had lived with the Lord of the cross in her heart. Is the Lord of the cross in your heart? Are you going to be confident when you have just hours before you breathe your last breath? Will you be smiling, trusting? Or will your eyes be wide open in fear? Friends, there's power in the resurrection of Jesus to change people's lives in marvelous ways. Because Jesus is let loose in the world, you and I and others who have been transformed by His Holy Spirit have been let loose in the world. And we've been let loose in the world to do what? To transform the world. As He has transformed us, we're to transform others in His power and indeed for His glory. A quick closing thought. A father overheard his two little boys play in church. The older of the two little fellows was explaining to his younger brother various parts of the service. At one point, the little fellow, the older one, says to his little brother, "Do you know what it means when the priest does that at the end of the service?" And he was making the sign of the cross. The little fellow looked up at his brother. No, he didn't know. He said, "It means some of you go out this way and some of you go out that way." You know, we laugh, but the little fellow was right. The cross sends us out into the world. Someone has said that the really important thing for any church is not how many people it seats, but how many it sends. Friends, we'll be sent out today singing, "He is risen, he's risen." Tell it out with joyful voice. Tell it out with joyful voice. What are we to tell out? He's burst his 3 days prison. We're all supposed to be rejoicing. Death is conquered. We're free because Christ has won the victory. Empowered by his resurrection, I pray that you'll go forward today feeling that confidence in the Lord that you have been transformed and you have a purpose, and that's to transform others, starting in your own home, in your neighborhoods, in the places where you work and play. You have a responsibility. You have a purpose. And I pray that when your time comes, you'll hear the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You lived into your purpose." Oh, may it be so, Lord. May it be so. Heavenly Father, thank you for the trust that you have in us. You know, we're sinners. You know we've let you down repeatedly, and yet you keep coming back to us. Keep whispering, "I love you. I love you." You keep encouraging us to walk in your footsteps. You keep encouraging us to step on up. Step on up. You're somebody. Don't listen to what the world. You are somebody. Step up. Live into who I created you to be so that you can do what I created you to do. Lord, we tend to listen to what the world says about us and to us. Turn our ears to you. Instead of looking right and left, lift our chins so we'd look up. Come, Lord Jesus. In your name we do pray it. Amen and amen.